Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. Game one goes to Oakland. 7-5, the final score. And I see the frustration already flowing in on the text line, so let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Listen, my thought going into this series, for as much relief as many Royals fans felt at the end of that 19-game gauntlet against teams in playoff position, right? Four consecutive series against first-place teams. There was a collective exhale from Royals fans when the team arrived in Oakland, and yet, well, we were reminded tonight that that team is full of professionals, millionaires, the best baseball players on the planet. There are so many different angles after this game, but I do want to get you involved right out of the gate. 913-586-7610. To me, the biggest storyline going into the game, as noted on the On Deck show, was Alec Marsh. Right, it's no surprise the reason why this team had that great month of April and May is the starting pitching and, of course, the defense and the team speed. But it begins on the mound. Alec Marsh, coming off the best outing of his career. Right, a no-hitter into the seventh inning against the New York Yankees. The Royals with their backs against the wall, about to be swept at home. Alec Marsh steps up in a big way. In front of, what, 22,000 adoring Royals fans that were into it. That was, you know, Aaron Judge is in the box. Juan Soto's in the box. Everybody gets up for that start. Everybody gets up for that game. But tonight, you're facing an Oakland team with Miguel Andujar as the most famous, or Brent Rooker as the most famous opponent to dig in against you. 7,000 people are the announced attendance. There's what, 2,000 people there? But I couldn't wait to see what Alec Marsh was going to do, because this is the type of game where you show who you are at this level. Because I know you're good. Just like we know Drew Waters is good and Carlos Hernandez is good and MJ Melendez is good. We've seen them very good. You understand why they reach the big leagues. They are some of the best. You know, they're the 1% of the 1%. They made it here. But can you do it consistently? Now, this isn't the ultimate decider on who and what Alec Marsh is, but it's the latest evidence. Is he the guy that's going to be able to consistently dominate like a Cole Reagans? Is he a guy that's going to consistently give you a chance like Brady Singer? Or is he a guy that's going to consistently tantalize and ultimately fall short? You know, to me, for as much as I want him, and he has the stuff to be the Cole Reagans, right now it's still aspiring to be where Brady Singer currently is. So I think there's a lot to discuss there with Alec Marsh. We can talk about Nick Lofton, the division battle, as Minnesota has now leapfrogged the Royals in the American League Central. So much to get to tonight, but I want to hear from you. 913-586-7610, and let's start off out in Shawnee with our buddy Big T. Hitting leadoff tonight, Big T. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. I just got something short to say on the game tonight. We'll get them tomorrow. We lose games to bad teams. That happens, but we'll get them tomorrow. And where I want to take the show right now, Vern, today I was listening to your On Deck show, and as you were signing off, you broke the news of the iconic Willie Mays passing away. And then in that time of moment, Vern, you explained what it meant to you when you were a little kid growing up that he was your favorite ball player. And you weren't even born then. It was a beautiful thing. It gave me goosebumps, Vern, as he was my favorite player growing up as well. We all wanted to emulate him. We all wanted to be the say-hey kid. I remember 73 when I was a kid growing up, Vern. he came to the All-Star game. Willie Mays was there at Royal Stadium. And it just brings back so many cool memories. Amos Otis and John Mayberry were our All-Stars. Willie Mays, he was just a giant icon to the game of baseball. What a colossal guy he was. Rest in peace, Willie Mays. And as always, let's go Royals.
913-586-7610. Thank you, Big T. Listen, if you're talking baseball, you definitely take the time. If you're a fan of baseball, you definitely took a moment to remember, to reflect, to pay respects to the greatest to ever do it, Willie Mays. Passed away today at the age of 93. Yeah, he's right up there as, you know, one of the names, one of the faces at the very beginning for me as far as falling in love with the game of baseball. He was 10 years retired already by the time I was born, and yet, you know, the way that the grandparents, the way my grandfathers spoke about him, the respect that I had for my grandfathers, you know, wanting to impress them with my baseball knowledge, with my sports knowledge. They're telling me Willie's the greatest. Okay, Willie's the greatest. Let me dive in. And you dive in, you watch, you read, you learn, and you fall in love with the ball player, the person, the story. So, no doubt. That's where this show should start. There's plenty to talk about with this Royals ball club and this 7-5 loss to the Oakland Athletics, but yeah, man, I'm with you. To me, he is a top 4 sports figure in my life. I had a chance to meet him when I was young and just was in awe. You know, when you're only seeing black and white grainy videos and the occasional colored photograph, It didn't seem real, right? You never saw him play live. You'd only see highlights here and there. So to meet him in person as a kid, yeah, man, that took me back for that news to be broke while I was live on air. That was, it was strange. It's strange when a famous person passes away and it affects you. To me, it was the first time really since, Prince. When Prince died, you were like, oh my gosh. Now, Willie Mays, same impact, at least for me. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. So we can touch on the loss. Again, to me, it's an easy diagnosis, the 7-5 loss tonight. It's Alec Marsh wasn't good enough. You know, shaky control right out of the gate, shaky command throughout. 2 runs allowed in the first inning. He pays for leaving a 2-strike pitch up in the zone multiple times in the third inning. Couldn't put guys away in that third frame. Now, his defense wasn't outstanding in the third inning, but Marsh didn't do himself any favors. And then in the fourth, a leadoff walk and a pair of hangers, and it's a 7-2 deficit in the fourth inning. And Royals made a valiant effort late, but ultimately fall short 7-5. We could talk about Nick Lofton. I think there's another layer to the Alec Marsh conversation, but I want to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. The text line is there as well, 913-586-7610. We'll take a quick timeout and get to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
First pitch in the lefty swing and a high fly ball. Hit pretty well. Deep left center. Blade going back. Blade in front of the fence. He can't make the catch. It's over the fence for a home run. A 2-run homer. Nick Lofton's first major league home run ties this game. It just eluded the glove of J.J. Blade in left center field. Nick Lofton homers and ties the game here in the second.
Yeah, Steve Stewart on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. 2-2 after that big fly from Nick Lofton in the second inning, but Alec Marsh would give 2 runs right back in the third, 3 more in the fourth, and that's all Oakland needed A's take the opener, 7-5, the final score. Nick Lofton's first career home run as he makes sure that the A's pay for their defensive miscue. With two outs in that second inning, Freddie Fermin hits a ground ball to the shortstop, and he boots it. The very next pitch, Nick Lofton ready for a fastball, and he got one from lefty Hogan Harris. And he crushed it for his first big league blast, a two-run shot. Nick Lofton would walk in the fourth inning and drive in the fifth Royals run in the eighth with an RBI ground out. Overall, solid night for Nick Lofton, offensively, defensively, making a couple of very nice plays at second base. And I was curious if you guys see him as anything more than a nice utility player. Well, I see Raj in the Ozarks writing in on the text line. Raj has likened him to Rod Carew. Now, he's not, I can't imagine. Well, I don't want to speak. I don't want to speak for you, Raj, but I feel like I know you as far as your baseball acumen, and well, I'm sure you're not really going to compare Nick Lofton to one of the greatest hitters of all time, a 3,000 knock guy in Rod Carew, but I'm with it. I like the fun that we're having with that, but he points out that even Rod Carew hit a home run once every blue moon. Raj goes on to write, Vern, we're not going to win with hitters 1 and 2 going 0 for 10 with 4 punchouts. Yeah, Mikel Garcia, rough night, 0 for 5, 3 strikeouts. Bobby, 0 for 5, 1 punchout. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Royals are now 21 and 7 against teams with a below 500 record. 913-586-7610, that's the phone number. My game notes following this 7-5 loss. Game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jay's Southland Tow. Let's go back to the text line. Matt from Leawood writes in, Vern, no complaints other than why is Garrett Hampson in the lineup? Vern, bottom line, we are a wild card team. Nothing more, nothing less, and I'm okay with it. Well, I mean, you're factually correct right now. Royals third place in their division, and they have the final wild card spot in the American League, two games in front of the Boston Red Sox. So, yes, I can't argue that they are nothing more than a wild card team, which, as you acknowledge, I'm okay with. But I don't know if that's supposed to be taken as a slight. I mean, of course the players would take it as a slight and the coaching staff, but I understand your frustration with Garrett Hampson. Especially when the defense isn't as consistently average to above average. The defense from Hampson to me this season has been average to slightly below average, and I need more from. I either need more defensively or more on the base paths, and right now I'm not getting those two things from a bench player. I know the Royals have a lot of bench players and no real starters outside those top four hitters, but you understand. Garrett Hampson, Adam Frazier, Nick Lofton, no one's really making a commitment to them as far as putting their names in the lineup every single day. So if that's the case, Garrett, I need you to tighten it up defensively, tighten it up on the base pass, or at least flash them wheels or force yourself into the fray with those wheels. But yeah, I'm perfectly fine with this team being nothing more than a wild card team because honestly, when I look around Major League Baseball and who stands out to me as more than a wild card team? Yankees, Orioles, Phillies, Dodgers. That's it. Yeah, that's it. So I agree. Honestly, that is the dream of these Major League Baseball owners and Rob Manfred And sponsors, that's what they want. They want everyone to feel like a wild card team. So, yeah, Matt, you're 100% right, and that's a good thing for the health of Major League Baseball, to be quite honest with you. Is that a lot of cities feel like we're nothing more than a wild card team. But you know what a wild card team gets to do? Play in the postseason. Now, we could have a whole different conversation piggybacking off of that. And do we really need to play 162 games to determine who the best half of the league is? No, I don't think so. Appreciate you listening. 913-586-7610. This is from the 816. Vern, I think the Royals have plateaued. I don't see them getting hot again. I wish they could, but you can't lose to the friggin' Oakland A's ever. I do not care if it's just one game. You do not blow a game like that. Well, they never led the game, so I don't know how they blew it. But, okay, I'll go along with you. They've plateaued because they lost one game to Oakland. So it's not the dropping 3 of 4 to the Yankees or 2 of 3 to the Dodgers. 7-12 gauntlet. No, it's losing one game to the Oakland A's. Something that Cleveland has done. Atlanta has done. The Yankees have lost 2 games to Oakland. Seattle's lost 2. Texas, the defending World Series champions, have lost 3 games to Oakland. Who the hell's going to make the playoffs? Oakland wins tonight, 7-5, the final score. We'll take a quick timeout. Get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Fastball bounced softly towards shortstop. Schumann charges, gloves in the palm, throw to first in time for the out. But Salvi's in to score. Back-to-back RBI groundouts, and now it's 7-5.
Yeah, 7-5, unfortunately, would be your final score. Oakland coming out on top in game one of this 3-game series as the Royals say goodbye to the Coliseum. Royals drop the opener, but have Cole Reagans on the mound tomorrow. And again, that brings me back to Alec Marsh, who I thought was the story of the game going in and is the story of the game coming out. He falls to 5-4 on the season, gives up 7 runs, records 9 outs. Struck out 4 and walked a pair. To go back to what the texter said, about this being nothing more than a wild card team, right? Which might be true. But I'll tell you this. If there is any sort of real regression from this rotation. Now, we saw some rough patches over the course of the gauntlet, right? But a lot of that was attributed to the fact that, well, one of the main cogs of this rotation was shelved in Michael Wacha. But hopefully he's back Saturday to square off with Max Scherzer and the Texas Rangers. But if there is any sort of real regression from this rotation, this isn't a wild card team. This is a almost 500 ball club. If there's any sort of real regression from this rotation, well, what they are is a team that just isn't good enough. It's good. It's 79, 81 wins, which will keep you in it throughout September, which is all we've asked of. Of this organization, this front office, these players, this coaching staff. But, I mean, look at it. Tonight you get 3 innings from your starter. Royals are now 16-17 when they receive fewer than 6 innings from their starter. 16-17. So, not a bad team. They certainly have enough to overcome an average start, a below average start. They're not without talent. No, there's certainly talent on this team. But what leads the 2024 Royals is the starting pitching. And tonight, the starting pitching was just simply not good enough Not good enough from a guy that I believe is good enough to consistently dominate. And even if that's, you know, royal-colored glasses that I'm viewing Alec Marsh through and that I've viewed him through since he was drafted in 2019, I've been a fan of this dude. So maybe I'm biased. But we can all agree he has the ability. He has the 6-7 pitches. He has the arsenal to give you a chance consistently. He has the ability to be Brady Singer. And that's not as a some sort of a slight to either one of them. Brady Singer is an above average starting pitcher in the big leagues. You can make a pretty good living being an above average starting pitcher in the big leagues. Michael Wacha's turned it into a 12-year career. Brady Singer's already 5 years in. You know, to me, that's what Alec Marsh should look like on a consistent basis. So the key is when we see him coming up, Sunday in Texas, more than likely? When he takes on the defending champions, does he remind us that this tonight is the aberration? This tonight is the once every other month type of performance that you get from a Brady Singer, that you get from a Michael Wacha. Let's hear what Alec Marsh had to say after the game to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Just going to evaluate that one for you tonight.
It's tough game. I mean, from the beginning, I think I snuck in ahead in counts, having to come back in counts and leaving things over in the middle of the plate. Overall, I didn't execute well today.
The leadoff walks in the first and then the fourth as well. How much do those hurt when you know, you see those come around to score and have those bigger innings?
But, yeah, I mean, that just gives them life, you know. I feel like I've been doing a good job this year on not getting those leadoff walks, and had two of them today, and you can just see what the damage is, and, you know, trying to buckle down and get the next couple guys out and make good pitches. And every time I'd make a good one, you know, you'd get the ground ball we needed, and it was just, you know, they just hit it in the right spot, and then the big hit would come for them. So, yeah, I think all that kind of just gets fixed when you're ahead in counts, and first pitch strikes are a lot better. So that's just going to be the focus coming around. You know, just really trying to flush that game for sure.
You get the three consecutive strikeouts in that third inning there. How much did that kind of help you going back out into the fourth and where they kind of unravel?
Yeah, I mean, as big, I was just trying to limit damage at that point. I think we were down four runs, and just trying not to let it get ugly there, and then ended up getting ugly anyways in the fourth inning. But yeah, I was just trying to really buckle down there and get us back in the dugout, regardless of what the game situation was, and, you know, trying to get into the at least fifth inning and hopefully the sixth, but didn't want to leave our bullpen out there to dry, and that's what happened tonight, so. You know, that game's on me. Just got to get back to work and flush that one.
There you go. That's Alec Marsh following again. Three innings of seven-run baseball. His record is now 5-4. Matt Cutrero needing to use five of his eight relievers. Good thing they called Carlos Hernandez back up. He threw a scoreless sixth inning. Let's go to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610 from the 913. So, Vern, you think the Royals are average now after one loss? Well, I don't know. Maybe that's not directed at me. Maybe you're questioning that previous texter. No, I do not believe that they are average after one loss. 913-586-7610. If you ever missed the post-game show, you can download the podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you download fine podcasts. Just search All Things Vern. And if you misunderstand something, feel free to call me up. 913-586-7610. Let's go back to the text line. From the 913, Vern, you can start holding your Michael Garcia fan club meetings in a phone booth. What a disaster. Yeah, Michael had a rough night. I had a chance to make a few what would have been sensational defensive plays. Plays I've seen him made. Plays that he's made this season. But he's unable to make those plays in the third inning, in that two-run third inning for Alec Marsh. And then offensively, he drives in a run but goes 0-for-5 with a trio of punch-outs. Yeah, it's certainly been a rough month of June for Mikel Garcia. He's not going anywhere. He's your third baseman. He's going to continue to hit leadoff. He's not going anywhere. 913-586-7610. The numbers in June are undeniable. He had 305 in the month of May. That's a bigger sample size, but I'm not going to ignore what he's doing in June. There isn't an alternative. So, yeah, point it out. We'll acknowledge it. There's just not much to grind them.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Fastball bounced softly towards shortstop. Schumann charges, gloves in the palm, throw to first in time for the out. But Salvi's in to score. Back-to-back RBI groundouts, and now it's 7-5.
Yeah, 7-5, unfortunately, would be your final score. Oakland coming out on top in game one of this three-game series as the Royals say goodbye to the Coliseum. Royals drop the opener, but have Cole Reagans on the mound tomorrow. And again, that brings me back to Alec Marsh, who I thought was the story of the game going in and is the story of the game coming out. He falls to 5-4 on the season, gives up 7 runs, records 9 outs, struck out 4, and walked a pair. To go back to what the texter said, about this being nothing more than a wild card team, right? Which might be true. But I'll tell you this. If there is any sort of real regression from this rotation, now we saw some rough patches over the course of the gauntlet, right? But a lot of that was attributed to the fact that, well, one of the main cogs of this rotation was shelved in Michael Wacha, but now, hopefully he's back Saturday to square off with Max Scherzer and the Texas Rangers. But if there is any sort of real regression from this rotation, this isn't a wild card team. This is a almost 500 ball club. If there's any sort of real regression from this rotation, what they are is a team that just isn't good enough. It's good. It's 79, 81 wins, which will keep you in it throughout September, which is all we've asked of. Of this organization, this front office, these players, this coaching staff. But, look at it. Tonight you get 3 innings from your starter. Royals are now 16-17 when they receive fewer than 6 innings from their starter. 16-17. So, not a bad team. They certainly have enough to overcome an average start, a below average start. They're not without talent. No, there's certainly talent on this team. But what leads the 2024 Royals is the starting pitching. And tonight, the starting pitching was just simply not good enough. Not good enough from a guy that I believe is good enough to consistently dominate. And even if that's royal colored glasses that I'm viewing Alec Marsh through and that I've viewed him through since he was drafted in 2019, I've been a fan of this dude. So maybe I'm biased. But we can all agree he has the ability. He has the 6-7 pitches. He has the arsenal to give you a chance consistently. He has the ability to be Brady Singer. And that's not as some sort of a slight to either one of them. Brady Singer is an above average starting pitcher in the big leagues. You can make a pretty good living being an above average starting pitcher in the big leagues. Michael Wacha's turned it into a 12-year career. Brady Singer's already 5 years in. To me, that's what Alec Marsh should look like on a consistent basis. So the key is when we see him coming up, Sunday in Texas, more than likely? When he takes on the defending champions, does he remind us that this tonight is the aberration? This tonight is the once every other month type of performance that you get from a Brady Singer, that you get from a Michael Walker. Let's hear what Alec Marsh had to say after the game to Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Just going to evaluate that
one for you tonight. That's tough game. I mean, from the beginning, I think it's not getting ahead in counts, having to come back in counts and leaving things over in the middle of the plate. Overall, I didn't execute well today.
The leadoff walks in the first and then the fourth as well. How much do those hurt when you see those come around to score and have those bigger innings?
Big, yeah, I mean, that just gives them life, you know. I feel like I've been doing a good job this year on not getting those leadoff walks, and had two of them today, and you can just see what the damage is, and, you know, trying to buckle down and get the next couple guys out and make good pitches. And every time I'd make a good one, you know, you'd get the ground ball we needed, and it was just, you know, they just hit it in the right spot, and then the big hit would come for them. So, yeah, I think all that kind of just gets fixed when you're ahead in counts, and the first pitch strikes are a lot better. So that's just going to be the focus coming around. You know, just really trying to flush that game for sure.
You get the three consecutive strikeouts in that third inning there. How much did that kind of help you going back out into the fourth and where they kind of unravel?
Yeah, I mean, it was big. I was just trying to limit damage at that point. I think we were down four runs, and just trying not to let it get ugly there, and then ended up getting ugly anyways in the fourth inning. I was just trying to really buckle down there and get us back in the dugout, regardless of what the game situation was, and, you know, trying to get into the at least fifth inning and hopefully the sixth, but didn't want to leave our bullpen out there to dry, and that's what happened tonight. So, you know, that game's on me. Just got to get back to work and flush that one.
There you go. That's Alec Marsh following again. Three innings of seven-run baseball. His record is now 5-4. Matt Cutrero needing to use five of his eight relievers. Good thing they called Carlos Hernandez back up. He threw a scoreless sixth inning. Let's go to the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610 from the 913. So, Vern, you think the Royals are average now after one loss? Well, I don't know. Maybe that's not directed at me. Maybe you're questioning that previous texter. No, I do not believe that they are average after one loss. 913-586-7610. If you ever missed the post-game show, you can download the podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you download fine podcasts. Just search All Things Vern. And if you misunderstand something, feel free to call me up. 913-586-7610. Let's go back to the text line. From the 913, Vern, you can start holding your Michael Garcia fan club meetings in a phone booth. What a disaster. Yeah, Michael had a rough night. I had a chance to make a few what would have been sensational defensive plays. Plays I've seen him made. Plays that he's made this season. But he's unable to make those plays in the third inning, in that two-run third inning for Alec Marsh. And then offensively, he drives in a run but goes 0-for-5 with a trio of punch outs. Yeah, it's certainly been a rough month of June for Michael Garcia. He's not going anywhere. He's your third baseman. He's going to continue to hit leadoff. He's not going anywhere. 913-586-7610. The numbers in June are undeniable. He hit 305 in the month of May. You know, that's a bigger sample size, but I'm not going to ignore what he's doing in June. There isn't an alternative. So, yeah, point it out. We'll acknowledge it. There's just not much to grind about, worry about. There's just not much to bemoan right now. You just hang with them, to be quite honest with you. You have no other options. From the 913, Mikel Garcia has been a liability, both defensively and offensively. Alec Marsh didn't give the team a chance to win. He couldn't put batters away when he had them down two strikes. Yeah, I agree with you about Alec Marsh. And I disagree that Garcia's been a liability offensively and defensively, because that would lend you to believe that he's been below league average, that he is hurting the team. And that's just not the case. He's one of the, you know, statistically one of the five best base runners in the sports. You know, defensively, you can dive into the numbers there. He's one of the best defensive third basemen in the American League. You know, it's similar to MJ Melendez. You know, when a lot of you were screaming about MJ Melendez, and you still are screaming about MJ, get him out of there, you know, send him down, he's hurting this team. Well, first of all, the offense isn't killing him. The defense and the base running are actually one of the main reasons why you've won 41 of the first 74 games. So if Mikel and MJ are getting the job done defensively, or getting the job done on the base paths, are not fried mentally, and their bats aren't sinking the ship, well, then you just push through and act like you've been here before. Rally Mantis is congratulating Nick Lofton for his first big league home run. From the 918, Vern, is Nick Lofton going to force them to make a decision they don't want to regarding Frazier or Hampson when Massey's ready to come back? Or will Nick Lofton go back to Omaha simply because he has options? It feels as if he's earned the right to stay. Now, I think he goes back to Omaha when Massey is ready, to be quite honest with you, and I don't see what he's done to earn the right to stay. He's hitting 230 with a couple of extra base hits since he's returned. He played a solid second base tonight. But I like what Adam Frazier brings to this team, both on the field and in the clubhouse and on the plane and on the bus. I don't want Adam Frazier going anywhere. And I understand the frustration that some of you have with Garrett Hampson. I acknowledge the desire that I have to see more from him defensively, but he's still hitting 289. Not much pop from him either, but I think he has more defensive versatility than Nick Lofton. I think he's a better base runner than Nick Lofton. And he's on a big league deal, so I think he's going to stick over Nick Lofton. A few more from the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, the Omaha Storm Chasers have three players hitting over 300. CJ Alexander, Nate Eaton, and Devin Mann. Vern, do you think any of them will be up with us this year? No, I don't. I do not. This is from the 816. Vern, how about that diving catch from future Gold Glove Award winner Kyle Isbell? Yeah, no doubt. That may have been the play of the game. Kyle Isbell with a full-out, full-extension Superman dive coming in from center field into shallow left center, robbing Phil Nevin's kid of the one-out knock in the second inning, helping Alec Marsh with a shutdown second after his offense just tied things up in the top half of the inning. Yeah, a great catch by Izzy. Solid night, Isbell. A leadoff triple in the fifth inning. He comes around to score the third Royals run. Isbell has 9 hits in the 10 games since he returned from smashing into Bobby Witt Jr.'s knee. Few more from the text line. Where's this next one coming from? Cousin Jim. Cousin Jim says, Vern, how about the bullpen? They were the best part of the Royals game tonight. Yeah, case could be made as the Royals' 5 relievers spin 5 innings of 4-hit relief. Sam Long maintains his flawless ERA. He throws a scoreless 4th inning. 0.00 through 11 appearances for the left-hander. Dan Altavilla threw a scoreless 5th. Carlos Hernandez returned and threw a scoreless 6th. Chris Stratton, a 1-2-3 7th. And Will Smith, a 1-2-3 8th inning as Will. has not allowed an earned run in 16 of his last 17 appearances, putting up zeros on the regular. Yeah, nice night from the bullpen, no doubt about it. Appreciate you listening. Badman writes in, giving some love to the Say Hey Kid. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Appreciate that. Thank you very much for listening, Batman. No doubt. And finally, Anthony in Blue Springs. Vern had a chance to watch the last three innings, but didn't see Alec Marsh pitch. Was he just missing spots, or did Oakland figure out how to hit today? Thanks for your time. He just wasn't good. You know, leadoff walk right out of the gate, nowhere near the zone. And then it's a fastball up in the zone to J.J. Blade, and he smacks it for a RBI double. He's still throwing, you know, fastballs up in the zone. So just poor command of the pitch that you need most. And then in the third, with his team now knotted up at two apiece, he gets ahead of the count against the nine hitter, 0-2. But, you know, poor command. And, you know, defensively, you could say they were C&I infield singles. You could make that case. I'd like to point to the defense and say I would love for you to make one of those sensational defensive plays and help Marsh out there in the third. But no, I'm not going to blame the defense. It's not on Bobby. It's not on Michael. It was on Alec Marsh, poor command, a leadoff walk in the first, in the fourth. They both come around to score. He just wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough, and the Royals fall short, 7-5, the final score. But Cole Reagans pitches tomorrow. So that's, you know, my favorite thing about this team this season, as you know, has been the next day's starting pitcher, and never so much as I feel that right now. Cole Reagans squaring off with Luis Medina. It's an 8:40 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 7:30. So it's game two with Oakland. It's coming your way again late night on a Wednesday night here on 610 Sports Radio. I want to thank JT Noah for the help back at the studio. Want to thank you for listening and writing and texting in. It is game number 75 tomorrow. And all of a sudden, we're all starting to tighten up a little bit, aren't we? All of a sudden, the Royals are in third place. That playoff spot that they've held so tightly for months is now only secured by two games over the Boston Red Sox. We're about to see your true colors, Kansas City. See if you're really ready for this. Hey, enjoy the rest of your night. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Royals, A's, game two from the Bay. Talk to you then. Take care.